Good morning. Welcome to our June 13th edition of the Ag Market Network. This program is brought to you by our sponsor, Bayer Crop Science. Our thanks to Bayer for supporting us over the years. Our cotton market panel is made up of, joining us today, made up of Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Dr. John Robson, Kip Butts, and our special speaker today, Gerald Nieper. But before we get started, we want to let everybody know about our special meeting coming up in July. We will have our annual New York Cotton Market Roundtable. This year it will be on the 22nd of July. That's a Friday. At this point, it looks like that will be, we will not have our usual program a day after the crop report. We'll just combine it all together and address all that in the one meeting, July the 22nd, unless something special comes up, and then we'll let everybody know if we're going to have an earlier meeting also. At that New York Cotton Market Roundtable this year, we'll have our cotton panel there, and also our special guest speaker, Joe Nicosia of Allenburg, will be with us. So we hope you'll join us. And this year, we're doing something special. We're doing the broadcast from the New York Stock Exchange. They are part of the ICE family now. That will be a live video that you'll be able to watch over the Ag Market Network website, and then it will be archived shortly thereafter. And the usual, those people that dial in over the phone can also hear that. So we hope you'll join us for that. Let's go ahead and get started. Gerald, thanks for being with us and telling us what's going on with the cotton market.
Well, thank you, Pat, and I hope I can lend a little insight. If I knew exactly what was going on in the cotton market, I would have told you that, you know, the month or so ago that we'd be up here in pretty strong, in a pretty strong fashion. But you know, there's several things to focus on, but here's just a few. You know, world production, as the latest estimate came out from USDA at 98.147 million bales for 2015, that's down 20.9 million bales from a year ago. So year over year, we're down 20.9 million bales. That's a record, at least going back to modern day history, going back to 1960. In percentage terms, it's a record too, down almost 18%. You know, world less China production fell a record 13.4 million bales, which means that China fell is down 7.5 million bales. World stocks are down about 10.4 million bales, which really reminds me of a pretty good lawyer joke. You know, what do you call a 1,000 lawyers lost at sea? You know, a good start, but it's not good enough yet. World consumption for 2015 is estimated 108.8 million bales. Now, let's compare that to May of 2015 when USDA came out with their initial estimate for consumption. They came out with an initial estimate for consumption for this crop year of 115.3 million bales. And I think, you know, really there you have it. You know, at least a good portion of an explanation of why prices have not responded even better than they already have. You know, the demand side has failed to live up to a massive amount of help provided by the supply side. U.S. exports doing better than expected. USDA took a long time to bring down exports to 9 million bales, and I think they were a little late to the party. We've seen some good sales here the last 2 to 3 weeks, and I think that when it's all said and done, export sales are going to end up somewhere between 9.1 and 9.4 million bales. You know, the flip side of that is domestic consumption may have to come down a little bit more, but still, you know, you should end up at the end of this crop year, instead of 4.1 million bales, probably somewhere between 3.7 and 4.0 million in terms of ending stocks. The U.S. dollar is struggling. You know, an optimist might say the dollar is consolidating gains. You know, a pessimist might say the dollar's getting ready to crash. So obviously what happens in the dollar market bears close watching. You know, although I personally don't know the breakout of buying from the Chinese reserves, i.e., you know, how much of it has been by speculators and how much of it has been by Chinese traders. You know, the buying nonetheless has been very impressive. 3.3 million statistical bales through the first 27 days of the auction. I haven't seen the results of what happened today on the Chinese market, but I imagine it was pretty decent as well. Speculators are still quite friendly, the commodity markets, which means that the trade shorts are really quite large because they're the offset. Now, it's this time of year, and actually a little earlier, you can start breaking out the current crop net position and the new crop net position. And if you look at the new crop or anything that's beyond in October forward, including even anything in December of 2017, and to some extent a little bit of July 2017, because there is some hedging in some of the foreign crops going out that far, but still, you look at the U.S. crop estimated at 14.8 million bales. You've got a carryout estimated this year of 4.1. That's 18.9 million bales for the 2016-17 crop that needs to be hedged. Some of that has already been rolled forward, and some of those are new hedges that have been put down in 2016. But the trade is net short 10.2 million bales already of something other than current crop. That's 54% of the estimated total supply situation for 2016. I'm not sure how that stacks up historically for this time of the year, but I think you got to remember we're still only in the mid-60s. So the bottom line, you know, is it's going to be very difficult to push this market down significantly without a macroeconomic event or some sign that maybe U.S. exports start getting canceled left and right. We have larger than expected declines in U.S. domestic consumption. Federal Reserve's raise interest rates. All of a sudden, the dollar takes off. Something of that nature to start sending a signal to the commodity operators or the commodity speculators that this market's going to come down hard sometime soon. So, not saying that we're not still in a trading range, that this market can't break down, but certainly it's going to be harder, I think, from this point forward without some other impetus to push this thing down. Pat, I don't have a whole lot more than that, but I certainly would be happy to answer questions or entertain questions for any of the other guests on the line.
Okay, let's just open it up for a panel. OA, what are your thoughts on the report?
Well, very much as expected, but I think, however, that what traders are still coming to grips with, in my opinion, or the market, what it's coming to grips with is the fact that the Indian crop continues to get smaller and smaller. Of course, that crop is gathered almost year-round, and back as early as February, we cautioned that there just absolutely wasn't any crop out there, and that's come to pass, but I think because it is harvested over such a long period of time, everyone just thought it was normal, and eventually cotton would come in, but it never was there because of the 100-year-plus drought that they had, and that crop is going to yet have to be lowered, so I think that's something that we're seeing, and it speaks to the fact that while China is certainly without question the big boy on the block, the availability of cotton outside of China just continues to shrink and shrink, so there is, as Gerald implies there, the impetus coming from the production side to keep this market a little bit higher. But once this production season gets going, particularly here in the United States, there's just excellent moisture, and we still have to look at a big crop scenario, certainly, once Texas can get going. So we've got to find some demand somewhere to hold this market up.
Okay. John, what are the conditions look like in Texas for cotton?
Well, they're wet, depending. Well, they're really, really wet, or they're above average moisture. And I'm going to agree with OA that I'm going to take it as a good thing, even though some people have gotten too much moisture. Some people have had to replant. But all in all, and particularly out west where it counts with the concentration of acreage and where it's not too wet out in the northwestern part of the state, and, you know, the moisture is a net plus, I'm going to say, and until I see otherwise. So I think I'm leaning towards the positive side on production, which makes me wonder why, other than the India question that OA just raised, I'm wondering what explains this rather large uptick in speculative buying that I guess kicked in about this time a week ago and showed up in the commitment of traders as of Friday. Somebody thinks that there might be a problem, or I'm not sure what somebody thinks, but there, you know, obviously there's a lot more bullish sentiment than there was last week. So, but anyway, I think the crop is going to probably get off and benefit from the moisture that we've seen. So, barring any big drop in planted acreage, the supply side is going to be pretty strong, I think.
Okay. You know, we talk about the outside markets and how they influence things like cotton. Kip, what are your thoughts on crude oil? Because that's always brought up as to influencing commodity prices.
Well, I think crude right now, we're a little overvalued on crude right now as we speak. If you look from a fundamental basis, we're still oversupplied in the world. That situation, as Gerald described, cotton, the supplies are tightening up a bit in the world market for crude, but we're certainly a long way from being where we need to be to support higher prices from this level. I think we're probably going to continue just to range trade and be pretty difficult to sustain prices much over $50 in crude. So I don't think that's going to be the pull for the other commodities. I am reading, though, that some of the traders are talking about another commodity super cycle. And sometimes psychology is important for the spec community. I'm not so sure that with a what our analyst, our soybean analyst here describes as a sure enough hot soybean market, you just don't have, there's that expression that the rising tide, you know, raises all the boats, and we may be in a situation where the spec community wants to view all commodities the same, and that is, you know, everything needs to go up. I think that's a bit of what we're seeing in the cotton market here, too. I think Gerald described the situation very well, that it's a step in the right direction, but we're still a long way from where we need to be from the stock side. I will comment, though, some of the stocks we have right now, we don't have an abundant supply of what the mills want, which is a high-quality cotton right now. We're kind of tailing down at the end of the year, and I think buyers are looking for a little bit more higher-quality cotton than is available. That's given a little bit of support outside the U.S., but again, that is not so strong as to say, we're going to run the market up because of that. So I don't think crude is one of the factors that's holding this market up right now. I think we're probably, that rally's over and we can tail down and stay somewhere in the probably around the mid-40s to maybe $40 or so.
Okay. I think last month when we had our meeting, cotton had got down to 60.10 in the December. Here we are trading today at 65.98 in December. And in the past, when the question was asked, what should farmers do, the answer was nothing. Well, now that we're at this level, I'll ask the panel, farmers that asked the question, what do we do, what would we tell them?
I'd advise guys to start scale selling right here at 66 cents. And, we do have the potential for a bit of a rally here. I've got some folks selling 68 calls that have sold them at around 300 points. That'll give you, with the premium, a net future of about 70 cents. And I don't think I'd do the whole crop here, but I certainly don't think I would let this thing get away from me. Those are my thoughts right now.
All right. Anyone else?
I know a few farmers who did step in hedging at 65 something. I mean, selling futures and shopping for calls.
Okay. OA, what do you
think? Certainly time. Well, I mean, it's just certainly time. The market, rather naivety. The market's rising, so the market says, "I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Feed me something." So we have to sell some into it to feed the market.
Gerald?
I don't disagree. You know, 66 cents isn't 86 or 96 cents, but it certainly beats the heck out of 56 cents. And so, you know, from 66 up to, well, wherever this thing may go, and I'm sure that's the next question. it's probably prudent to be a scale-up seller here. The thing that I find interesting, you know, Kip mentioned it earlier that we're starting to run out of high-quality cotton. I would say, yes, we're running out of high-quality cotton that they can afford to buy. There seems to be a real large reluctance for these mills to buy anything landed over 80 cents a pound. So they're starting to scramble, which means that they are scrambling and trying to buy other qualities that might fit what they need as far as fiber requirements are concerned. But again, a real reluctance to pay anything much over 80 cents a pound on a landed basis, which means that they're trying to stay competitive out there with yarn prices and as well as polyester.
Gerald, would you view that as being a function of the demand, that they won't pay up because the demand is still pretty soft for their products? Is that
I think it's a function of demand being soft for their products. You know, they're in this hand-to-mouth buying mode. I think everyone thought for a long time that they were going to be able to get their hands on whatever they needed. So now they're scrambling and trying to fulfill their fiber requirements for their yarn sales, which I'm sure they were making yarn sales when prices were, well, lower than they are now. And so they're trying to find something that'll work at these price levels.
Yeah, as Gerald says, hand to mouth, and they have been functioning hand to mouth for, I don't know, 18 months or so, and it's becoming more of a routine. Another way to look at that, the way we've expressed it from time to time heretofore, was that just mills are not covered. They're just not covered into the next quarter. There's still a lot of immediate demand, and that just keeps a little bit of a floor under the market. The market's trading like it may want to have a 65-cent floor. We've got to do some more work to keep that there, but I think unquestionably now the floor is somewhere above 62 cents, even if the 65-cent floor is not there, and it may well not be. But as we alluded to, I want to come back and make this comment. The Bloomberg Commodity Index is up. It's up about 13-14% for the year, and it's really the only asset class that's up. So that's, we're having so much such a large proportion of the speculative fund come back to commodities, leaving equities. Because as an asset class, commodities have been the big winner this year, much more so than bonds, much more so than equities. So the money has to come to commodities. Now, the grains obviously have done a better job. They're getting more of that share. The metals are rising. They're getting more of the share. But until 3 or 4 weeks ago, cotton was a net loser for the year. But now cotton's on the plus side. Just simply because, not simply, but that has been a major factor, or the factor that has brought funds back specifically to the cotton market. And there's more there, and they'll be bringing more.
Anyone else have any?
Well, I'll be curious to see if the pattern of fund buying you know, based on what Oleg just said, if the pattern of fund buying might be a little more sustained for a little longer period, because, you know, as everybody's kind of seen, it's even though it's just a fluctuating net long position recently, but I mean, it fluctuates pretty frequently, you know, from week to week or 2 weeks, it's higher and then it drops off, and it's just up and down in concert with the price range, up and down, and in concert with the export sales. I mean, it just seems like I'm having trouble. I'm firmly anchored in this bias of looking at this trading range, and I frankly I don't see what's going to bust us out of it, even with a renewed broad demand for commodities. I just wonder if we're going to still see buying in a week or two, with prices having stayed up here. If exports drop off, you know, last week they dropped off a little more. Maybe I just expect to see them drop off a little more, and expect to see the price come back down to, you know, 63 something.
So what is your trading range? What do you look at for cotton?
You know, we've been basically, I'd say, you know, really practically, you know, 61 to 66 is where I expect to continue to be operating.
What about you, OA? What's your range? What do you think the low side is, and what do you think the high side is for December?
I think the low side now is totally up to at least 62 cents, maybe a tad more. The 67-cent level is staring us in the face, and that's where we're trying to get to. If we get to 67 cents, then we have a shot, decent shot, at 70 cents. I still think this long-term range that we've been in for over a year, between about 61 and 70, is still very much in play, and we have to work with that. But as long as the dollar continues to be on the slide or is alternatively on the low side trading down, then funds are going to keep coming back to cotton because they'll keep coming back to commodities, and cotton will get its share because there's no place for the hedge funds to put their money other than commodities. So as long as the dollar is in a little bit of trouble, and I'm not saying it's in trouble at all, I'm just saying compared to where it was, it's been for the last year, it's wanting to trade lower now. Now, you notice Ms. Yellen made the comment recently that rather than trying to increase interest rates, they were going to just maintain where they were down for a while. So that keeps the funds coming to commodities.
Kip, what's your range for cotton?
Well, I like a 60 to 70 cent range right here. Not trying to put too fine a point on it. I think we're going to have a lot of difficulty getting much over 68 cents unless we have an event. And Gerald alluded to that earlier. You know, sometimes you need a catalyst. And I thought we may get a little under 60 cents, but I don't think you stay there long. I'm more inclined to that 60, 70 cent range with a suggesting that 68 may be pretty tough to get through here short term.
All right, Gerald, what's your range?
I would agree with the panel. There's in terms of the upside, I don't know that there's a lot of play. You know, 67, 68, up to maybe as much as 70 cents. On the downside, as Kip said, you know, without some kind of a catalyst, it's going to be difficult to get this thing down to 60 cents in the short term. Now, as the crop as crop conditions improve and we sort of get back past some of this weather, you know, I think this moisture in Texas is going to suggest a pretty healthy U.S. crop out there, and you will eventually end up in the dog days of summer, and the market will start working down. We are working a little bit counter-seasonally here. Typically, you know, the market's working its way down right now instead of its way up. But, we should eventually see, I think OA's right, you know, 62 to 63 cents on the low side, 66 to 68 cents on the high side. So call me a 62 to 68 cent range trader here for probably the next 2 to 3 months anyway.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
All right. Well, just let's wrap up our meeting. Go ahead.
Just back cut.
Okay. It looks like plenty of people are doing that. Although, as we're speaking here now, the market's up about 63. So we are taking a little break during our broadcast. Okay. Well, we want to remind people of our special meeting next month, July the 22nd. Will be our annual New York Cotton Market Roundtable. In addition to our panel, we'll have Joe Nicosia joining us as our special guest. That'll come from the New York Stock Exchange. That probably is confusing to some people, but that's sort of part of the ICE family now, and so they have a better broadcasting facility. So we thought we would do that this year. We do not plan to have an earlier in the month date that we usually have, one day after the crop report, unless something's happening. If something's happening with the next crop report or we feel there needs to be a discussion before then, we will certainly come on. So that's it. We thank everybody. Thanks to Bayer Crop Science for being our sponsor. Thanks for all our speakers and for Gerald Nieper leading us today. Hope you have a good day, and we'll see you again next month.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.